Good morning, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio, Sinoland. And for I don't know how many times now, I have John Potash on the show again today. How are you doing, John?
Good. Thanks for having me on again, Jeff. It's great to be here with you.
John, I have at least three, maybe four times. He ha has written a book about how the FBI and the CIA massacred a lot of black people and and left-leaning groups. Then he did another one about drugs and how the CIA and the FBI used drugs to control Western human, well, at least American society. And then he drilled down and did a third book. And I've read all these, and I paid for all of them. And he did videos for each of those. And then he did another one on really drilled down on Tupac Shakur. And I read that one. And today he is going to introduce to us his new documentary. And it's he sent it to me. I got a producer's copy. It's wonderful. So why don't we just go ahead right now and let's just start and let's just watch the trailer for his new documentary. Are you ready? Let's go.
Have the American oligarchs and U.S. intelligence used drugs for social control?
The CIA was, in fact, facilitating the movement of opiates to the U.S.
The team of spies lured many and initiated them to acid. He laughed so hard that he threw up. Mind expansion at its best. Did U.S. and British intelligence manipulate musicians to help promote drugs? In the fall of 2018, a journalist who was friends with John Lennon and Yoko Ono came out with a biography where he said Yoko introduced John to heroin.
And as they're singing, you know, go, go, Johnny, go, whatever, she picks up the mic and I swear to God goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that look.
Was Courtney Love the Yoko Ono of her generation?
With Courtney here, it's more dangerous.
What else might they be doing with drugs?
And in the case of Jolly West, in one of his letters to Gottlieb asking for more funding.
That's where Manson would go, along with some of his followers, and part of a study and getting their LSD from there.
And I know it was LSD because I saw it before he put it in my coke.
All right, John, that's a great start. Tell us about your new documentary because it's really wonderful. And what's really amazing is it has a lot of funny punchlines and mixed in with it.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Oh, I'm glad you liked it. And it's so I had my first my book on this subject, Drugs as Weapons Against Us, the subtitle being The CIA War on Musicians and Activists. A longer subtitle for the book just mentions a lot of the names of the activist groups and musicians and leaders, but that came out in 20. I put that published that in 2015, and that it has over 1,000 endnotes. It's based on my research that started around 1991. And at that time in 1989, I'd gotten a job as an addictions counselor in Baltimore City, and I was getting involved in activist work on the side. And as I did more and more activist work, I came across people, for example, when I was in protesting the Iraq War, I was blocking streets, sitting down, blocking streets in Washington, D.C. in protest of the Iraq War, of the American invasion of Iraq. And I was sitting next to a woman who worked for the Christic Institute, who worked with the Christic Institute, and Danny Sheehan. And he had got and they'd gotten the Kerry report in Congress when Senator Kerry was a little more honest. And that report basically showed how the CIA was involved in drug trafficking. And showed, how they were working with corrupt kind of with the Contras in Nicaragua, and that was unveiling basically part of the Iran-Contra crack cocaine scandal that Gary Webb really went more into. later. And I first got in that report in 1991 when I was involved in that activism, the anti-war activism. And Gary Webb came out with a kind of the viral story of that in the later 1990s. And so I got a lot of research through my activism. I got a lot of research from my individual in my working as a addictions counselor, and then I went back to grad school to get more training in counseling, but also do get some take classes in community organizing and sociology. And when I did that, I researched more of how these movements play out, how they're stifled, and came across more research on the way that the state, the government, use drugs as weapons against us. And so it really the book and the films really center on this Operation MK Ultra, which was an umbrella project with 149 sub projects, and it started in 1953 and officially lasted until 1973. And in 1973, Richard Helms was kind of forced to shut it down, to not because Congress started investigating it. A few honest congressmen started investigating it. They were part of the Church Committee, and they eventually came out with a one or two book long reports on that project and all it entailed. But in the meantime, he was busy shredding as many of the illegally shredding as many of the MKUltra documents as possible. You know, it was the CIA MKUltra project, and you're not supposed to be allowed to shred those documents. They're supposed to be public, property. And so he did that. The estimate, sorry, he shredded about 200,000 documents, but 20,000 of those documents still remained in the accounting office that he didn't get to, and that revealed a lot of what was going on. Not everything, of course, though. And some of those documents said it's the use of drugs for unconventional warfare. And when we think of warfare, we think of soldiers in foreign lands, but really the warfare proved to be, based on loads of research I did over this decades, about 2.5 decades before coming out with the book, that warfare was on anyone who opposed the oligarchs and government's racist pro-war agenda. And so I came out with that book in, as I say, in 2015, and found that it kind of centered some of the research of it on the fact of the way they used the governments in general and historically had used opium to sedate, divide the masses. And I'd gotten that idea, that phrase from Ramsey Clark, former U.S. Attorney General Ramsey Clark, because I was working as an addictions counselor, as I said, in 1991 when there was a conference in Baltimore that he was speaking at. And I talked to him about my work and said, "What do you think the government uses drugs for?" And he said, "To sedate and divide the masses." And I just added to that thesis, and I felt the same as him, but I wanted to get his opinion on it. But I would add that to that kind of oppress the masses and hurt our minds, take our minds away from our best organizing by damaging them with psychedelics. MDMA, ecstasy, but LSD and super psychedelics such as DMT and BZ and STP that all came out of this Project MKUltra. And LSD was one of the main drugs of MKUltra, but they used all kinds of psychohypnotic drugs to help them with hypnosis and creating what's called by the film Manchurian candidates, with basically people with dissociative identity disorder and trauma. Caused by trauma, along with the hypnosis and the drugs that lead them to have split personalities or multiple personalities, so that the CIA can use people as assets. So that's I didn't get that into that as much in the first film. I really got more into other aspects of it all, but the second film I get much more into it because the sequel. So after the book in 2015, I came out with the film Drugs as Weapons Against Us. In 2019, and then my current film, CIA Drugs Are Us, a Drugs as Weapons sequel, is obviously, as I say, the sequel to the film, And I did this partly because I found new information on two of the main characters, people in history that I focus on, and that was actually three of them: John Lennon, Kurt Cobain, and Tupac Shakur, three musicians I focus on. And I focus partly on these musicians. Well, I said partly because the government was using them, manipulating them to promote these drugs, and then when they sobered up, got more sober and got more into their activism, they were done away with, I found. And partly because a lot of new evidence came out about them, and some of this evidence involved, I get into in the film, but it involved, for example, Kurt Cobain's FBI file coming out, a close reporter friend of John Lennon, Yoko Ono's, coming out with a book in about 2019 or 2020, saying that he found that Yoko had introduced John Lennon to heroin, and then a book by Tom O'Neill came out on the Manson family, which
Oh,
showed how
yeah.
the Manson family had
Unbelievable.
basically it had gotten into the Laurel Canyon music scene, where there was a number of musicians that had been given instant popularity by the oligarchs, because those musicians were either coming from the oligarch's family, such as David Van Cortlandt Crosby, Van Cortlandt's basically owned 1,000 acres in the Bronx, and they were, some of the wealthiest. It was one of the wealthiest families in the country, and that's where Crosby came from. And he also had military intelligence grandparent a grandfather. His was military intelligence, and his father was in military intelligence. And some of the other musicians came at, like John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas, who came out the film, like the song California Dreamin', people might remember. His father was Marines, part of a Marine officer. He was in the Naval Academy, John Phillips, and I show him, of course, my film, that he did unbelievably horrible things, just beyond recognition of a normal human being with some of the stuff he did. And so, such as injecting his 11-year-old daughter with cocaine, and so a number of these musicians, even Frank Zappa, who turned out to end up blow the whistle in some of this. Frank Zappa's father worked in chemical warfare in my state of Maryland, at the Edgewood Arsenal, where they where his father was a, just a engineer, a chemical engineer, and developing a lot of these super psychedelics there for part of MK Ultra. So they all get instant fame and instant 16, top 10 success kind of thing in Laurel Canyon, and they're holding these sex and drug parties to lure as many other musicians and as many actors to these parties, to turn them on to all kinds of drugs with these sex parties, with all these having these orgies there, basically with all these groupies that some of whom were part of the Manson family. And so, what a guy named Tom O'Neill, award-winning journalist who was writing an article on the Manson family for Premiere Magazine back in about 1999, he turned that article, that Premiere Magazine feature article, into a book, because he spent 20 years researching that book and came to find that the Manson family was created by the CIA's Project MK Ultra. And he found that the director of MK Ultra was writing letters back and forth with a guy named Dr. Julian, Lewis Julian, or they call him Jolly West. And Dr. Jolly West was working at an office in the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, while the Manson family visited that clinic weekly, and sometimes even daily, for 6 straight months. And Dr. Jolly West specialized in the use of hypnosis and drugs to create dissociative identity disorder in people, that so that they can basically turn them into assets and robots, so they don't really know what they're doing when they're in an alternate personality, and following basically what the CIA wants them to do. And so, and he wrote in his own papers, he wrote about the success at doing that with hypnosis and drugs. And so that's some of the many things that this film's about. But as I got further in my mental health career, I started focusing more on general mental health issues, and then I started specializing with trauma issues. And for the last 10 years, I've been using a technique called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is a non-invasive way to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it's really, I believe it's the cutting edge technique for helping people with mental health problems in general, but particularly with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so I ended up also working with people that were the victims of the church sex abuse scandal here in Baltimore, and a community actually next door to my community, a little further into the city, was where a infamous Father Joseph Maskell worked. And Father Joseph Maskell was the lead character of Emmy Award-winning documentary series on Netflix called The Keepers. And that Keepers documentary was basically it came out in 2017, and it was about these women that had a teacher in 1970, around 1970, Sister Kathy Cesnik, in a Catholic private school, high school, near me. And they wanted to investigate what happened to their teacher, because their teacher basically found out about what Joseph Maskell was doing to their fellow students, and it appeared to be appeared that she was going to blow the whistle on them, and when this Father Joseph Maskell and another priest who worked at the school, and then was found murdered. And so they went and investigated and just uncovered the massive amount of abuse that was happening through Father Joseph Maskell, with the aid, and he was helping police come in his back door in his office to also rape these young girls, these teenage girls. And he was using and so in 2017, this came out in the documentary. In 2017, I sent some pages of a book called CIA Doctors to with the lead the star of The Keepers, the citizen investigator, Gemma Hoskins, who lived in my neighborhood. And I said, I believe that this is evident, there's evidence here that this was actually part of the CIA's Project MK Ultra. And here's a great expert on MK Ultra, a psychiatrist who really, blows the whistle when MK Ultra and the way psychiatrists are abusing the field in terms of being having connections to CIA's MK Ultra. And she ended up re-interviewing a lot of the people in the Keepers, a lot of the victims, just church sex abuse victims in the Keepers, and presented that on those interviews on a podcast. And she interviewed the psychiatrist who wrote the book CIA Doctors that I sent her pages of, and just showed all the evidence that yes, this was most likely all part of CIA's MK Ultra program, and that it continued way past 1973 and probably still continues today is the best evidence. And so I even have some of Father Maskell's victims from actually early 1990s. So it clearly continued well past 1973 to the early 1990s. And so this is some of what my film covers. And of course, it has parody songs in it to try to make a little light of all the darkness. I'm glad you like the songs. So because it's just so dark, you have to make light of it a bit with some comedy and parody songs to just to make it not too, gruesome for people, so you can have some breaks in between the darkness.
You also have some pretty funny punchlines too with the narration. It's pretty good. Well, I, by the way, I actually met Ramsey Clark and at his apartment in New York City shortly before he died, and he was quite a guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. It was great talking with him. He was a really nice guy to talk to.
I also interviewed Douglas Valentine, who wrote the book CIA. What is it?
Something of the Wolf.
No, the it was the
The other one.
the CIA is organized crime.
Oh yeah, good. Yeah,
That was that was that
that's
that was the
good.
sequel that, and he said that when they enter, you know, when the Congress or the Senate, you know, catches him doing something, you know, they go in front of the Senate or the House, you know, committee or whatever, and they say, "Oh, we're really sorry, we won't do that again." And then all they do is they just, you know, take the sign off the door, go two doors down, change the name, put a new name on the program, and they just keep going. I mean, you know, they don't stop. And if, so anybody that thinks that MK Ultra has stopped is crazy. I mean, it's just,
Right.
of course they're still doing it. So, well, it's a wonderful movie. It's, you know, and again, it is kind of, you know, you drop these, you know, funny punchlines and the music and stuff. So I really highly recommend people to watch it. How do they get it? Where can they buy it?
So you can get the film's free on Tubi. With some like just a couple ads every 10 or 15 minutes or so, but it's free there. It's free on another place called Fossum. For $1.99, you can see it without ads on Google Play and YouTube Movie Rentals, and about 10 other digital platforms.
Oh my
And
gosh. Well, send them
then
to me and I'll publish them in the article.
great, I will. Thank you. But it's also, believe it or not, sold by Barnes and Noble. It's sold by Amazon. It's sold by Target, and even sold listed on Walmart's website, believe it or not, because my distributors, I got a good distributor for it. If they really knew what they were selling, they may not be selling it, but I'm glad they at least list it now and show it all now. So yeah, I've gotten great feedback on it so far, so I'm happy about that. And in the first month, a lot of people have watched it for sure, and I'm really happy about that. So it's actually gotten the best reviews of all my films so far,
Oh,
which
it's definitely you can see your production skills have improved with every film. So
thank you.
you become quite a producer director. So you deserve plaudits for your for all your movie making. So
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
well, listen, I want this to I just there's Just get, he's even offering it for free. So John is offering his movie for free, or you can get it for two measly bucks, you know. So get watch it. It's wonderful. It's funny. I will put the our three previous interviews in the article page.
And Jeff, for
It's
your
it's
international friends, let me just say, for your international friends, which I know you have many great international friends whose work I love that you've promoted, but for them, they can also go to my website, www.johnpotash.com, johnpotash.com, and I sell the international, I sell the DVD internationally and the books internationally. It's just a little more money because price has gone up for sending internationally, but the DVD has 18 plus bonus scene minutes too. And so, I think that I hope that internationally people find out the gruesome things that our government's doing to the American people, and of course, obviously, people overseas.
Yeah,
But
they're not stopping at the East Coast and West Coast. I mean, the CIA is global, and they're obviously
of
doing
course.
this. In fact, I John, I see in France, you know, these horrible crimes, you know, in broad daylight, you know, like a guy, you know, going in a park with a knife, you know, and stabbing babies in baby carriages. And it just goes on and on and on. And every time I see one of those people, I go, that guy's MK Ultra. That guy's MK Ultra. I mean, it's so
The French
beyond.
version of MK Ultra,
Yeah, exactly. It's just these guys are absolute, just they're like the Bourne identity. They're just like, you know, they're like cyborgs, you know. It's they I don't even know if they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
And
they're probably doing it in an alternate personality that
personality,
was
yeah.
programmed, and for some reason led to do this for some agenda, some dark agenda
Well,
of
to create
French
public fear.
intelligence and the French
Create public
oligarchs.
fear, scare the shit out of people. That's basically what it
Right.
boils down to.
Yeah, scare them
So,
into submission, most likely. Scare them
exactly.
into giving up their weapons and submitting, sadly enough,
And their
because
freedoms, and their freedoms.
yeah, and their freedoms, yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, in part of the film, I do have a it was under President Clinton that he had President's advisory hearings when dark experiments by the CIA. And in that committee, in that hearing, they therapist, a trauma specialist, came to that hearing, was allowed to come to that hearing and present her information with two patients of hers who said, both stated how they were from an early age tortured and given drugs and to turn them into CIA assets to create that dissociative identity disorder. And back then they called it multiple personality disorder, because when you're traumatized at the vulnerable most vulnerable age for your brain, which is between the ages of 3 and 8 years old, the brain and mind can split that way and it can cause that split personality. And so one of them actually was able to sneak out of her cage because someone accidentally left it unlocked. And she went in and found all the documents telling some of the CIA projects and the patients and the doctors' names and all that. And and another patient gave all the names of the people she found out that she recognized that were torturing her and turning her into a sexual, a sex kitten asset for the CIA to blackmail people. She was like kind of a honeypot for heads of universities and all that. And so you'll see that in the film too. And them testifying to all this and giving the names of these CIA MK Ultra folks, and that I talked about earlier in the film too. And so it's really lays it out in great detail. And of course, as I say, when Gemma Hoskins talked to these victims again, they said yes, they think they were programmed, and they found themselves with blood on their hands, sometimes didn't know how it got there, and they found themselves being all of a sudden gun, experts at shooting when they never thought they ever held a gun before, and they're all of a sudden marksmen with a pistol. And so there's just all kinds of stuff like that, just to hammer the point down of what the CIA is doing and what they're capable of, and sadly enough.
Well, John, I'm gonna put everything that you told me, list all the websites, all the sources, everything internationally, et cetera. And thank you for being on the show today. I want everybody to go out and watch it. And it's sobering, but at least, you know, like you said, he leavens it with a lot of humor. It's when you read John's work, you really start questioning, or watching his work and reading his work, his books and his movies. You really start questioning, you know, just, you know, how much the United States is a democracy. It's just, it's extremely disturbing. But unless we understand this, and we can't take any action to make it any better. So thank you so much for being on the show today, John. I'll let you get back to work. And I'll give you a Buddhist bow and hear from Taiwan province in China. And thank you so much, and have a good day.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Take care. It's good talking with you again.